And welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advice today on Monday, July 3rd, 2023. To begin with, just as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is WMATA.com, Accessibility Advisory Committee. I would like to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. You can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon, unmute yourself. And if you would like to make any comments, you can virtually raise hand by going under reactions and clicking on the raise hand icon. If you're able to use these tools, it's helpful for us because it informs us that somebody is trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. I would request everyone to stay on mute unless speaking. It helps eliminate any external noise. So in advance, we also had two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your comments. It helps them in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone calls knowing who. Not only that, but when people may listen to the audio, it will help them who the speakers are. Madam Chair, if you would like, I can read the meeting agenda and then take the roll call members.
Please proceed.
Thank you. I would actually also share my screen. So if you would bear with me for a quick moment. Okay. So after I finish reading the agenda for today's meeting, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. Madam Chair will go through the motion of approving today's meeting agenda, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report. After that, at 5:40, we have Jordan Holt. She will present Metro Performance Report. At 6:30, we will have a committee discussion about Hedinger Award 2023. If we have any public comments, we will begin those at 6:45. At 7 p.m., we will take the bus and rail subcommittee report. At 7:15, we will have the Metro Access subcommittee report, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30. At this point, I would stop sharing my screen. I would go through the roll call of the committee members. So when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura, Danny Spush,
present. Danny,
thank you. Tina Calabia, Vanessa Coles, Rico Branson,
yes, here.
Thank you. Teron Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher.
I'm here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Here.
Thank you. Timothy Howard. Steve Kaplan.
Here.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel. Sandy Musil. Sandy is connected on this meeting. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
I'm here.
Yes, I hear you. Thank you, Ms. Rush. Paul Summerford.
I'm here.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan actually informed ahead of time he will not be joining the meeting today. Kelly Simona and Philip Weintraub.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So that concludes the roster for today's AAC meeting. As I earlier said during reading the agenda, we do have a wonderful presentation about Metro performance, and I would ask our presenter to please while you're going through the slides, you do such a fabulous job anyways, please describe them in detail for the convenience of our members and members of the public who are blind or have low vision. I just want to remind everyone, for the public comment section, you will have a 3-minute time to speak. This is practiced to make sure that any members of the public who would like to make comments gets an opportunity to do so. If we have any members who would like to make additional comments and we have any remaining time, we will definitely come back to you. Madam Chair, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward at this time. You have the floor.
Thank you, Anu. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes of last month?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Okay, do I have anyone that opposes? Do I have everyone to say they approve the minutes?
Approve.
The vote?
Approve.
Have any nays? The minutes are being approved for last month. Now we just have to do the board of directors. Did everyone see what we voted for? I mean, what we spoke about at the board, but we might have some changes that we want to present. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Move for the board report.
Did I get a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Can I get yays and nays?
Yays.
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
The board of directors minutes, with any changes that we may have, has been approved. Any opposed? Thank you. We have a guest. Is that the next thing, Anu?
Yes, Madam Chair. We have Jordan Holt, and she has joined with us. So, Jordan, whenever you're ready, and if you'd like to share your screen, you should be able to do that.
Great. Thank you. Sorry, I lost the unmute button for a moment. Can everyone see my screen okay?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Great. So thank you all for having me back again. My name is Jordan Holt, and I'm the Director of Performance Improvement at Metro. And one of the things my team produces is a quarterly report on our overall key performance metrics related to safety and service quality. You see here from this title slide that this is this very similar information that was reported back in May to the entire board of directors. What I will be doing as I go through this is updating you where possible with more recent information. The data you see through here is through quarter three, which is the end of March of 2020. 3. Our fiscal year just ended 3 days ago on June 30th. So we don't have the full year results fully tabulated yet. But where I have some preliminary numbers, I'll share those. I will also share, we are about to launch in a week or so, a dashboard on WMATA.com that provides more detailed and up-to-date information related to on-time performance, elevator and escalator availability, and a few other measures. So I will use that dashboard to demonstrate our performance in those areas, as well as kind of show off some of the functionality that will soon be available to everyone on WMATA.com. Okay, so overall summary is that for rail and bus in particular, we've seen big improvements in customer satisfaction this fiscal year relative to where we were this time last year. And we know from what our customers tell us that this reflects improvements in service delivery, particularly on rail, increases in frequency. We are now running most trains every 8 or 12 minutes for most of the day on most lines. We also have seen good news with kind of more satisfied customers. Ridership is increasing. Again, we think driven by the added frequency. But we also hear from our customers that safety remains a top concern. And so have some information about where we see crime in the system, as well as what we're doing about it. Okay, this is a very busy slide. This slide has a table of contents of the different performance measures that we use to evaluate how well we're doing, as well as information about if we are meeting our target or not that we set for each fiscal year, and or if that measure is trending in the right direction. So I am actually not going to go into detail on what is the information in the blue box, because we will be, there is a slide for each of those information, so you'll be getting a lot of detail about that. On the right-hand side of the page is another table. This includes measures that we are not going to be, I was not planning on going into detail today, but I can, I have slides if anyone has any questions about them. So one of those is how much service we are missing on our rail side. You'll see this is also a measure in the dashboard I will be demonstrating. We have met our target there and it has improved through the fiscal year. On bus, we measure prediction availability. This is the real-time kind of next bus arrival predictions. We measure what share of trips are available and then how accurate they are. This is the first year that we have measured that, so we did not set a target. For both availability and accuracy, we have seen improvements in that measure over the course of the fiscal year. So more bus trips have predictions available, and those predictions are more accurate. We also measure rail and bus crowding. We did not have a specific target for that in fiscal year 23. I will say there are periods of acute crowding in the system. And what I mean by acute is that really on rail, it's very like a 15-minute segment, 15 to 30 minutes, often on the red line in the very core of the system. You will see trains with 100 or more passengers. For rail, we actually define crowding as more than 120 customers on a train or on a car, rail car, sorry, it's per rail car. And on bus, generally, it's more than 40 passengers on that bus. And that means for bus that all the seats are taken and that it's standing room only. On rail, it's all the seats are taken and there's probably about 50 to 60 people standing. Like I said, we measure that in general, crowding is very low, less than 5% of the time our trips crowded, but we do know it does happen at certain times of day in certain places. Safety events is another measure that we look at. This is one where we track number of collisions. That's kind of the major safety event tracked for bus and access. And for rail, we also track derailments and fires are other big events there. For rail and access, we have not met our targets, but the positive thing is that through March, performance was kind of trending in the correct direction, which means we were having fewer events for every 10 million miles that we travel. On bus, we met our target. I see I have a question, so I'm going to pause. Or Anu, actually, what is the best way to handle this? Should we save the questions till the end?
We can, and then we can take. We can surely do that.
Perfect. Okay. We also track customer injuries. We track these for all of our modes, rail, bus, and access. And for customer injuries, we look at that also per 10 million vehicle revenue miles. So I'm scaled to how much service we're delivering. And for those, we met target for all modes. Assaults, these are assaults against our employees and our customers. For rail, we met our target, but bus, we did not. And then employee injuries for both rail and bus, we did not meet our targets for the number of, it's the number of employee injuries per 200,000 hours worked. Now I'm going to go into a bit more detail on customer satisfaction, ridership, and crime. Then I will show the dashboard where we'll look at on-time performance, missed trips, and elevator and escalator availability. Okay, jumped ahead. Okay, for rail and bus customer satisfaction, as I already mentioned, really the story of fiscal year 23 has been big increases relative to where we were in fiscal year 22. So over the last 12 months, we've seen sustained increases in customer satisfaction. The graph on the left shows rail customer satisfaction. Last year, for the period January through March of 2022, 68% of rail customers were satisfied. When we look at this kind of 12 months later, in January to March of 2023, we see 79% of customers were satisfied. So that's an increase of 11 percentage points. Preliminary data for this final quarter of the fiscal year, so customers who were surveyed between April and June, 84% of them were satisfied. So that is a big increase, continued increase throughout fiscal year 23. On bus, we saw in 2022, when we surveyed customers between January and March, 64% of customers were satisfied with their last trip. That number increased to 73% when we look in 2023 from January to March. Preliminary information from our customers surveyed between April and June of this fiscal year, of this year of 2023, shows results hovering at around 73%. So no more increases on bus. Again, what we understand from rail customer satisfaction is it's really the increase in frequency, which means customers have to wait less for trains. And that's a big driver of satisfaction. Okay. For Metro Access customer satisfaction, what we've seen is throughout fiscal year 23, so if you look at the last three bars on this graph, we've seen it hovering around the mid 70s in quarter three. It was 75% and kind of decreasing slightly throughout the fiscal year from 79% in quarter one, 78% in quarter two, and 75% in quarter three. This represents a drop from where we were during the pandemic in fiscal year 21 and fiscal year 22. You can see from those bars in the graph that we were more in the mid to upper 80s in the percent. So kind of 85 to 87% on average, customers were saying they were satisfied with their last Metro Access trip. And we reached a high of 92%. Based on that experience, we actually set a target for this fiscal year of 90%, which was, we were striving for big improvements. I think what we learned is that a lot of the customer the higher customer satisfaction levels in fiscal years 21 and 22 were related to the fact that we had suspended shared rides. And we reinstated them near the beginning of this fiscal year. And since then, satisfaction levels have kind of returned to where they were pre-pandemic. When you can see on the three bars on the left-hand side of the graph, which represent the first three quarters of fiscal year 20 before the pandemic, where we performed at 74%, 71%, and 72%. We do know from our customers that, you know, on-time performance definitely is important to satisfaction levels, as well as the courteousness of the drivers, which is something that the Metro Access team has been focusing on. Okay, ridership across all modes, which is the graph on the left, has been increasing throughout the fiscal year. And you can see we kind of had a low in fiscal year 21, where each month we were carrying fewer than 5 million riders. We are now approaching about 20 million riders a month. And I believe we hit that in April or May. What we have seen is around the end of March, Metro Rail and Metro Bus ridership, it's about 50-50. Metro Rail actually, for the first time since the pandemic started, carried more riders in April or at the end of March, than Metro Bus. We also have seen several high ridership days this spring. On Tuesday, April 4th, Metro reached a post-pandemic ridership record of 791 trips system-wide. And a lot of the ridership increase, we saw strong ridership for the cherry blossom tourism. In particular, we had a Sunday ridership high, the Sunday after peak bloom, where Metro served 347,000 trips on Metro Rail alone. I will also note that beginning in January of this calendar year, so January of 2023, on Metro Rail, we started counting both tap ridership and untapped ridership. By tap, I mean that's when people tap their card, and untap, it's our new fare gates have sensors which can track people who do not pay or who do not tap a card. So for that, we are reporting both. And you can see in the middle graph on the Metro Rail, there's two shades of blue. There's a light blue that represents the tap ridership, and the dark blue is the non-tap, additional non-tap ridership. Overall, non-tap ridership is about 15% on average of total Metro Rail ridership. I also want to note that we already do a similar thing on Metro Bus. The way we count ridership on Metro Bus is using our automatic passenger counters. Those are sensors that are either located, cameras that are located near the doors, and count people. For Metro Access ridership, what we've seen is when we look at both kind of the trips carried on our dedicated Metro Access service, as well as Abilities Ride, which Abilities Ride represents about 30% of all trips, and it has been increasing. We see overall ridership on Metro Access and Abilities Ride is about 20% lower than pre-pandemic levels. We know in part this is, we have fewer active customers. We had about 36,000 registrants at the end of quarter three fiscal year 23, compared to 48,000 pre-pandemic. So that's about 25% fewer. But we have been increasing the number of trips carried on Abilities Ride through, yes. Some insights we've seen in ridership is that on bus, we've seen larger increases in ridership where we have added frequency. So one example is that in September of 2021, we implemented the Frequent Service Network, which is a set of routes that run either every 12 minutes or every 20 minutes. And for many routes, this represented a really large increase in service on Sundays. So it on Sundays, actually, it increased service by about 17%. And what we saw there is that riders have responded, and that we are now carrying more riders on Sundays today than we were pre-pandemic. We're carrying about 13% more riders today on Sundays, on bus, on the buses in the Frequent Service Network, than where we were pre-pandemic. So that is exciting news. When we look at Saturdays and weekdays, on weekdays we added about 9% more service to the Frequent Service Network, and on Saturdays we added about 11% more service to the Frequent Service Network. We see that on Saturdays, we're at about 92% of pre-pandemic ridership, and on weekdays, we're about almost 80%, 79% of pre-pandemic ridership. Some insights on Metro Rail. We are now multiple months. I think we just finished about 7.5 months of Silver Line Phase 2 after it was open. The data, though, I'm presenting here are for the first 5 months of the Silver Line Phase 2, our new six new stations that opened on the extension. What we see, what we're learning from that, is that about a third of all Silver Line Phase 2 trips start or end at Dulles Airport. Not super surprising. Another interesting tidbit is that a quarter of all trips start or end at Ashburn, which is the end of the Silver Line Phase 2. So it's the end of that station. And where we see people traveling are really to Silver Line stations in downtown DC. On the map graph on the right, when you can see stations where there's large purple dots, those are our most popular ones. So Silver Line Phase 2 riders travel to Metro Center, to Farragut West, and Foggy Bottom. Those are our top three destinations in downtown DC, followed by McPherson Square and Federal Triangle. So about, 35% of customers traveling from Silver Line Phase 2 stations travel to downtown DC locations. About 14% traveled to other Silver Line stations in Virginia, the most popular one being Tyson's, and about 3% traveled to Union Station. When we look, to the prior service that we had to Dulles Airport, it was a bus line, the 5A that traveled, it stopped at L'Enfant, Roslyn, and Dulles. We see that about the ridership going to Dulles on the train on Silver Line Phase 2 is about 5 times more than what we saw on the 5A Metro bus. So we are seeing more demand to use the train to Dulles. Finally, I alluded to this earlier with some of my factoids about our high ridership days related to cherry blossom. We have been seeing more and more Metro's importance to the region, transporting residents and tourists to and from regional events. Some examples on this slide include a March 21st Capitals game where we generated 7,000 trips. At the Cherry Blossom Festival tourism, we estimate that we carried about 473,000 trips just related to cherry blossom tourism. And that's by just looking at our additional entries and exits at Smithsonian Station. We also know that we carried 10,000 fans to and from the Nationals Park on opening day. And then just another example is a Bruce Greenstein concert. We know we carried about 6,700 customers. Okay, I am going to skip through the next few slides because I will cover this information on the dashboard, but I'm happy to go back with questions and use these slides to answer. I do want to cover though security. I mentioned that our part one crime rate, we know personal safety and security are really important to our customers. We hear that through our customer satisfaction survey, as well as other feedback channels that customers have. And unfortunately, one of the measures we use to measure personal safety and security is our crime rate, our part one crime rate. And we have seen that increase through fiscal year 23. The graph at the top, the line graph, shows that the crime rate was quite high at the beginning of the pandemic. It's really more, we had very few customers. So every crime, when you calculate it per million passenger trips, results in a higher rate. Things were slightly decreasing and leveling off as customers returned to using our system. But the rate sharply increased beginning in January of this calendar year, January of 2023. And what we know in part is driving that rate increase is when you look at the bar graph below the line graph, I wanna call your attention to motor vehicle theft. And you see how that the rate of motor vehicle theft really jumped in those last three bars, January, February, and March. And that is what is one reason why the overall rate has increased. We've seen a huge increase in motor vehicle theft. Unfortunately, that's also been continuing in April, May, and June, particularly with Hyundai and Kia model cars at our parking lots. There was a TikTok challenge kind of teaching people how easy those cars are to steal. And so people have been coming to our parking lots and stealing those cars. Some of the things the police have been doing have been partnering with local police forces to increase patrols in the parking lots, as well as just on the system in general. They've also been handing out the securement devices for the steering wheels to provide that extra level of protection for customers using our parking lots. So overall, our crime rate is up over 20% compared to the same period this time last year. We have, as we've been partnering with local police forces and increasing visibility in the system, we have seen an increase in arrests up 116% from last year. Now I want to switch over and show you the dashboard that we will be launching later this week, hopefully, either this week or next week. So part of it will be, there will be a new page on MetroWeb. You'll find it under initiatives. Currently where it says Ridership Data Portal, it'll say Open Data Hub. And what you will be able to access from this page is our Service Excellence Dashboard that I'll be demoing, as well as ridership dashboards. Currently for ridership dashboards, we have Metro Rail and Metro Bus, and you can get a lot of detailed information there. From this page, you will also be able to link to the latest Metro Performance Report. That's kind of the same information I've been giving you today. So the dashboard will let you drill down into more detail. You'll be able to see bus line and metro trips, metro rail, origin and destination. But what the report provides you is more context. So if you want to know why performance is changing in a certain way, you can go to the report and learn more about the whys behind the trends you're seeing on the dashboard, as well as what we're doing about it. On this page, you'll also be able to link to our annual bus line performance report. So this is a huge report, hundreds of pages that provide a lot of detail about our different bus lines. I think we have one starting in FY19. So, and we'll be releasing one this fall, looking at FY23. And then currently the dashboard does not have any crime statistics, but you can link here to the detailed daily, monthly, and annual information that the police department posts on WMATA.com already. So this will be the homepage for the dashboard. Then when you click on Service Excellence Dashboard, you'll be taken to a summary page that describes the dashboard. And allows you to choose if you want to focus on Metro Rail, Metro Bus, Metro Access, or elevators or escalators. So I've pulled up already. I thought we could start with Metro Rail. So what you see here is you have selections. You can choose to see details for the entire system, which is what I have displayed right now. Or you could choose a particular Metro Rail line or a particular trip. You can also do a service period. This is generally the time of day you travel. So do I travel kind of between 5 and 7 a.m., between 7 and 9 a.m., late at night, et cetera. So as I mentioned, what's nice about this dashboard is I can show you more regular results, or more up-to-date results. So what I had in the presentation was data through March. What I can show you in the dashboard is data through June 25th. So for the fiscal year, kind of pretty much fiscal year 23 overall, about 89.5% of real customer trips were on time. We also can calculate the trips that ran according to schedule, and we have about 99.4% of those. Then you can go and get more detail. You can see how performance trended month to month for the last 13 months. And that you can see that for rail customer on time trips. You can see that we kind of got worse as we added more frequency. it was maybe a little harder for us to maintain the high levels of on-time performance we had before. Throughout kind of the fiscal year, we ended in May and June kind of hovering around 90%. And when you hover your mouse over various months, it worked for me for a second, you can get details for that month. And then you can also see here, this is the percent of scheduled, this wasn't scheduled on-time performance. This is the percent of scheduled trips that ran. So this is kind of the inverse of missed trips, right? If a trip is missed, it didn't run. But what we're showing you here is what percentage of our scheduled trips ran. You can see that we ran almost all of scheduled service in fiscal year 23. Some months we ran more than what was scheduled. So you can go over 100% here. Mostly that's if we add a special service for Nationals games or special events like tomorrow's July 4th service. That's what we're counting here as well. You can filter. I will filter for, I am personally a Green Line rider, so I'm going to filter it for Green Line. It's 88. The results show 88.1% of real customer trips were on time. I'm going to filter it for the peak periods because I typically am a commuter. So I travel during weekday peak periods. You can see that the results change. And now it tells me that 90.7% of Green Line trips during AM peak and PM peak during fiscal year 23 were on time, and that we ran 100% of our scheduled service. So you can also go back and select a particular station. I will also tell you my commute is from Columbia Heights. And I go to the Metro headquarters at L'Enfant Plaza. Generally, oops, L'Enfant Plaza. Need to select that. Hold on. Make sure it's selected. Okay, it looks like it is selected, sorry. And for my trip, I can attest it's pretty much on time. 91.5% of trips were on time. So I'm beating the system average and I'm beating the Green Line average. But this allows you to drill down to really, customers to drill down to trips that are relevant to themselves or their experience. Similarly with Metro Bus, so across the top of the page, you'll see you can flip between our modes. For Metro Bus, you actually get the most information. Over on the right-hand side, there's some summary information. It looks like for fiscal year 23, 77% of bus departures were on time. 1.4% of bus trips were not delivered. 93.7% of bus predictions were available, and 86.6% of these predictions were accurate. And we can look at those trends over time. So it looks like on-time performance, we peaked in July, where we hit almost 78%. And then we also saw improvements in January and February, where we were close to 78%. September was our worst month. At just between around 75%, it looks like. That is seasonal. I see that every September as people return to work and we have school coming back in. We have seen declines recently since January, where we again almost hit 78%. Looks like in June we're performing more at around 76.5%. Similarly, scheduled trips that didn't run. This measure looked really good throughout the fiscal year. At no point in time did we have, you know, fewer than 2% of trips missed, less than 2% of trips missed. We have seen, it fell. The lowest we saw was in the January through March period, where about 1% of trips were missed. We've seen that climb up a bit. Through June, where we missed about 1.6% of trips. real-time predictions, we saw that peak throughout the fiscal year. We had 93.7% of scheduled trips had real-time predictions available. and we saw that really increase through April, and it looks like it's fallen in May and June. And I will be coming back to you with the true reason why there. I think in part the fall in June may be related to the fact that some of the shuttles that we provided for our Orange Line track work did not have predictions, and that may have been part of the decrease in May and June. When we provide predictions, we also evaluate how accurate they were. And what we see is that we've been doing really well since January. We've sustained kind of 87 to 88% accuracy. You see on this line graph that there are dips. We had our low points in September, where we were at about 85.5%, 84.5% of predictions were accurate, and December. These are timed, these coincide with when we have schedule changes. And in part, it takes part of the accuracy of predictions is there's kind of a learning algorithm. It learns kind of the arrival patterns. And so I think it drops a bit in the months where we launch a new schedule, because it takes a week or so for those predictions to learn and get more accurate. So that's bus. Just like rail, you can choose a route and direction. So I am an H4 rider. I typically ride it east. And it looks like my on-time performance for H4 is the same as the system, is what it looks like at 78%. But let's just double check. I typically ride during the AM period. Doesn't look like it's much different than the system. For Metro Access, the information that we will provide on the dashboard is about ridership. So how many riders were transported, on-time pickup performance, and the percentage of rides that were shared. So it looks like for the average fiscal year 23 to date, we've carried almost 1.4 million riders on Metro Access dedicated service. We've had 93% of pickups were on time, so we've exceeded our target there, and about 40% of trips were shared by two or more riders. You can again see the 2-month trend, the 13-month trend here for all of these measures. For riders, this 13-month trend looks like we're seeing a drop off in June. I would not be worried about that. I think that's just a date thing. So I think you'll see it rise as we close out June. 93% of pickups were on time. You can see this has been very consistent since February. We've had delivered very consistent Metro Access service for the last 5 or 6 months. In terms of shared rides, kind of those peaked in August at 45%. And then you see kind of most recently in March, April, May, and June, it's been closer to about 37 to 38% of rides were shared. Finally, last but not least, we can look at elevator and escalator availability. and this is at the station level. So you choose a station that you're interested in. And what this will tell you is instead of the percentage of time that units at that station were available, we're showing the percentage of revenue hours that they were unavailable. So what you see here is information for Addison Road. It is June. I'm going to change it. So we'll look at roughly fiscal year to date. You can just drag this slider, or you can click on the calendar too, and the information will update. And what this is telling us is that about on average, 4.2% of escalators were unavailable during service hours for maintenance, repairs, or capital improvements. Similarly, elevators, it was also 4.2%. And then you can see trends by this for that station for escalators and elevators compared to the system average. So it looks like in terms of Addison Road, for escalators, their performance was better than the system average at 4.5%. It's lower than 6.4%, which is the whole system average. So that's good. You can see there was a peak in April, probably a unit or two was down for some number of time. Escalators, you can see that Addison Road did not perform well. I mean, elevators as well as the system. It looks like in December and January, one of the elevators was out of service, probably for a major repair or a capital improvement. So that is the dashboard. And that concludes what I was hoping to communicate to you all today. But I know there's questions and I'm very happy to answer them and also to go into more detail on some of the slides that I may have or any measure that you want to hear about.
Thank you, Jordan. Ms. Rush?
Ms. Rush?
Yes?
Yes.
I don't have any questions or comments, and then we can go to members, and then we do have a member of the public with raised hands.
Okay, thank you very much for your detailed report. You say you do have questions?
It looks like there's three people with hands up.
We have questions, yes. Janice, I do see your hand is up. We'll go through the AAC members and then I can come back to you. We'll go with Weintraub, followed by Steve Kaffin, and then Paul Somerville. So, Philip, go ahead.
I was wondering also, I've been also just more, this also could be part of the performance improvement, but I've been hearing people, like, I've been hearing stories that where the door, some of the trains, that they close doors so fast, it's make hard for people with wheelchairs to get the board. So maybe we can train all the operators, but we should leave the, at least have the doors open long enough to at least get a wheelchair to in through the door.
Okay. Yeah, that is something we can look and kind of think, see how often kind of we're getting complaints on that. I can tell you that part of our operating protocol is that the train operators are required to kind of look outside of the train to turn their head, kind of look outside and make sure that the customers are, that no customers, you know, to basically look for that and keep the doors open long enough for that. That is part of their protocol. That said, I'm sure that there are times when the doors are being closed too quickly. Mr. Kaffin, Steve, are you next?
Yes, hi. Jordan, thank you very much. This is almost overwhelming in its scope. But you know, a question I have concerns bus ridership, and I didn't hear. I know you mentioned how it's actually determined, and did you say the bus ridership number is determined by the fare tax and pays, or is it determined in a different way? And if that's the case, it could be an interesting comparison to see what percentage are in fact being paid fares.
Yes, so our bus ridership, I did mention that it is, our official count of bus ridership is the sensors, we call it automated passenger counters. So it is not tied to the paid fare or people tapping their card. And we do that comparison. And we see anywhere from about 30 to 50% of ridership is unpaid. We do know that some of our fare boxes, we have a replacement program for our fare boxes, many of which have kind of reached the end of their useful life. So we'll see how we'll continue to track how that number changes with that.
So I, you know, I'm sorry. I still didn't understand how. What is that number? How do you get the number of bus ridership? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So every no problem. Every door, on the bus, has sensors. Right? And when people walk through the sensors, they trip it. So that then counts like, one person is there. So basically that's how they're kind of like inferences.
Okay.
So above our cameras.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, you know, Metro can get a pretty useful number as to what percentage of riders are paying versus not.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And last very quick question. The crimes, you mentioned larceny, yes. Theft. Is this grab and run, or is there a violence or interaction involved with these?
The larceny, theft, a lot of it is grab and run. You know, like cell phones or purses. I believe robbery is when there is some sort of violence associated with it. I believe that's the difference, but let me check if I have that in my notes.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Okay. And Mr. Simmelfort?
All right. Hello, my name is Paul Simmelfort, and I am the MetroAxis Subcommittee Chairperson. And of course, my questions for you, Ms. Holt, is going to be related to MetroAxis. So with the dashboard, just for the benefit and transparency to customers, MetroAxis customers, where will it be housed and when will it be live? And just kind of what types of information would they be able to have access to?
Great. Yeah. So it will be housed on WMATA.com. And when you visit WMATA.com, you'll be able to access it when you go to the homepage at the top, there's kind of a menu, so to speak. It's like service, schedules and maps, rider guide, fares, initiatives, business, and about. This will be under initiatives. There will be a second link on the left. It will say Open Data Hub. And when you click that, it will take you to a page where you'll have a link to the Service Excellence Dashboard. And when you click on the Service Excellence Dashboard, you'll be able to select your mode. Because the information is presented by mode. And with MetroAxis customers are particularly interested in MetroAxis, they can click on that and they will be able to see ridership. So the number of ridership on MetroAxis service, on-time pickup performance, and the percentage of trips that were shared by two or more riders. And they will be able to select the time frame that they're interested in. So if they only want to look at one day, let's say January 2nd of 2022, they can select that and then the information will update. And you can see on July 2nd of 2022, I selected that one day, there were 1,953 MetroAxis riders transported. 94% of the pickups were on time and 25% of trips were shared by two or more riders. You'll also be able to get detail by seeing kind of the monthly trends over the last 13 months for all three of those measures.
And is it live right now?
It is not live. It will be live. We are, along with this dashboard, we'll be releasing a dashboard that shows kind of real-time status for Metrorail. And so we're still finalizing that information and probably expect to either release it at the end of this week or early next week. So I would confidently say by July 14th, it will be launched, but hopefully sooner. So this is pretty much ready to go. And we're just trying to package it all together.
All right. And will it have, my last question is, will it have the potential of expanding the information delivered? Because obviously the three areas we look at Metro Access is a customer service and certain subsets, as you alluded in your report, safety and on-time performance. So I know this is just the beginning, and I just wanted to find out, does it have the potential to show other pieces of data that we do get on as a committee on a monthly basis in our reports from Metro Access Management?
Yes. So this is, that's a great question. And yes, this is what we're considering kind of phase one. So we want to get this out there, hear from customers, what they like, what else they want to see, so that we can then prioritize kind of phase two and phase three and what else to add. I did hear from kind of the Riders Advisory Council that they're really interested in having more kind of interactive crime information. But I really welcome kind of your feedback on what else to include for Metro Access or otherwise on the dashboard.
Because my thought is I want to include this in next year's work plan to hopefully working with Mr. Blake and the Metro Access management to invite you to one of the Metro Access meeting to talk to the committee members to get some of the ideas that we would like to see in those three areas. And that would be it.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Next is Thomas Magnum. So Thomas, unmute yourself and go ahead with your question.
Yes. This is my question. Thing is, though, thank you for being here to talk to us. I really do appreciate it. But also, I want to know, how do I contact you directly? Because I'm trying to start a transportation service in other places that we might not have it. I had a loan came home from being at my sister's funeral in St. Clinton, South Carolina. And so I'm noticing when I travel, it's a lot of places that's not accessible. So I wanted to know, what could I do to make things better in other places? Because I sit as chair over a disability group. And like, so I'm one of the disability leaders in DC. So I'm trying to make things better overall. So I would love to be able to talk to you to get some ideas on how to make things better for people everywhere, what have you, not just here in DC. So is there a way that I could contact you directly and we could talk and maybe have a meeting or what have you to figure out things?
Sure. I think Anu can provide some contact information. I think there's definitely resources in the industry that could be of help to you. The American Public Transit Association could be very useful. There's also some committees at the Transportation Research Board that could also, I think, help you kind of in this objective that you've set. So happy to connect you with those folks.
Okay, please.
Yes, Thomas, I will. You can forward me any information. We can definitely get you connected.
Okay.
Thank you. Sure, you're welcome. all right. So at this point, Madam Chair, we have two members of the public with their hands up, Janice Samuel and Sonia Torres.
Okay.
Okay. So Janice, go ahead with your question, and when you start speaking, your 3 minutes will begin.
Thank you, Anu. My question is regarding a few slides back, you showed a data point regarding rail crowding. I wanted to know if the committee has or will take into consideration once the new rail cars are incorporated, which will have less seating and more standing capacity, will that seating slash standing capacity ratio be taken into consideration as it relates to crowding?
So I can answer that. Yes, we define it will probably change our threshold for what is determined as crowded. Right now, kind of all of our car series have a similar number of seats. So and are designed in a similar number of way. so we can set kind of a similar standard across all car sets. Right now that it's between 100 or 120 is defined as crowded. But I think that number is determined based on the design of the car. So that number may change for the new cars.
Okay. So the number, yeah, I understand that. And then, so, because then we'll have apples and oranges, because the ratio will be different from what it is now versus in the future when the capacities are different. And how do you equalize that so that you know that you're comparing, you know, apples to apples?
Yeah. So the way we get our data is at this rail car, the train set level. So we'll know that train is, say, a new 8,000 series train. And so we'll be able, we scale it. Right now we report the percentage of a passenger's time spent in crowded conditions. So we will be able to calibrate it that way.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Sonia Torres, when you start speaking, your 3 minutes will begin at that time.
Hello?
Okay. Is this Ansel Torres? Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ansel Torres. Thank you so much for working on this web project. I have a few questions. One is the information for Metro Access going to be in real time. If you said that already, I didn't hear it because I didn't hear the entire presentation.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, the next question I have has to do with accessibility. Has it been accessibility tested in any way? Has anyone talked to you about accessibility from the Department of Access Services at Metro? And I heard the breadcrumb trail to the link, and it sounds rather exhausting. And for people who are great at using the internet, that will work for them because they know how to do that. But people who are not so sophisticated, is going to be very hard for them to drill down that deep to get to this wonderful tool. That's it.
Great. Okay. So going through the questions, the first one you asked was, will the information be real time? The answer is no, it will be on a 7-day delay. So every day it will be updated. But with a week old information. So you can see right now, today is July 3rd, and you can see data through June 25th. So tomorrow on July 4th, you'll be able to see data through June 26th. So it's on a delay. That enables us just to make sure that the data are accurate and do some data accuracy checks during that week. Eventually, we'd like to make that delay smaller. In terms of website accessibility, we have been following kind of the overall standards of WMATA.com to make it to align with those standards. And then in terms of kind of how complicated it'll be to find this, I hear you. I believe as well on the homepage on WMATA.com, we'll have a tile there that will take you directly to the dashboard. Kind of currently, you know, those tiles sometimes change. Like there's a link right now to, I think, our major track work and kind of the service standards there. But the idea is that we would also have a tile on the homepage that you could click that would take you to this.
Okay. This is Anu. And at this point, we do not have any more hands up. So thank you, Jordan.
Great. Thank you all. I really enjoy coming to speak with you. So I really appreciate the invitations and the questions and the feedback. So thank you for your time. I know I talked a lot. I gave you a lot of information. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good holiday tomorrow. Ms. Rush, now it's 6:40. Our schedule is 6:30 Hedinger Award and 6:45 public comments. If you would like, we can go to public comments if we have any public who would like to make comments, and then we can resume with Hedinger Award.
Yes, thank you.
So I would ask any members of the public who have joined the meeting, if you have any questions or comments, please tell us now. And we will be happy to take the questions or comments in the order received. We did not receive any public comments through phone messages, phone calls, or emails.
I have a public comment somewhat. We had, at the board of directors meeting, we had two people from the public to speak, Mr. Torres, and also we had Rico Dancy. Mr. Torres commented, and they heard him loud and clear. And also, Rico, if they're on the line, did anyone get in touch with them after the board of directors meeting? Rico?
Rico is connected. So through the interpreters, Ms. Rush is asking Rico Dancy if his questions or comments were followed up from the board of directors meetings.
Okay.
There may be a lag time through the interpreter's communication, Ms. Rush.
Uh-huh.
This is the interpreter. I've signed the question two times.
Okay. So, Ms. Rush, just to move along, we can perhaps...
Now he's noticed.
Okay.
They weren't asking if more questions or comments. Did anyone respond? Your comments, your questions.
No. Okay, thank you. Mr. Torres, has someone contacted you about your comments?
Yeah, this is Ansel Torres. You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I actually, as soon as I got up to leave, I was approached by Ms. Sarah Meyer. She's a director of customer service, and the rest of the title I don't remember. And we have been communicating, and she actually has requested to speak with me on Wednesday about the web tool issue.
So
it was good because it's good that it happened that way. And I'm really glad that you asked about it, Ms. Rush, because lots of times at these sessions, people say that they will get in touch with you and they don't. I've had that happen several times at these Metro Access meetings. I can remember several years ago, Ms. Olliride, your 10-day Olliride, I'm probably, mincing up her name, but she promised to get back to me on some Metro Access budget questions, and I waited and waited, and she didn't. Mr. Blake communicated with her, and she didn't get back to me. She never actually got back to me about it after promising in open forum that she would. And Mr. Blake finally had to step in for her and and answer the questions that I was asking, but I was asking the questions from her, and I appreciate Mr. Blake doing it. But Mr. Blake can't answer for everybody. You know, these people need to be connected to Metro Access. I get the sense very often that Metro Access staff, senior staff, are not connected. That's
well, my concern is that as the public, you come down to the meeting and you're allowed 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and someone, you took your time to come down to make a statement, then I just want to make sure that someone is attending to the people who do take the time to come down, because a lot of people don't come down because they feel it's a waste of time.
And I
really want to make sure that something is being said to the people who come down and make comments. That's why I asked. So I'm glad that someone has kept in touch with you. Rico, if you can hear me, or the interpreters are telling you, your concern is very important for Union Station. So I'm going to try to see if someone gets in touch with you about your tool and people are using that. Also, Rico, have you seen a dashboard, a whiteboard that you could ask a question? Have you visited a station and
asked
for a
And
did you did see one?
You mean right now or at a station?
At a station.
I don't understand what you're describing.
If you wanted to communicate to someone and write on a dashboard, have you seen dashboards at the stations?
Ms. Rush, this is Carol Lopez. I think we need to call them whiteboards.
Okay, whiteboards. Oh, I'm sorry, whiteboards. I'm so sorry.
I have not seen these whiteboards at the station.
Have you asked to write on a voice on the board?
What?
Have you asked?
Okay, I will do that. I'll do that. I have not seen a board or known who to ask, but I will ask someone.
Thank you. I will too.
All right, this is Anu, Ms. Rush. Steve Caffin has his hand up. Steve, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. In my comment, deals, and I don't have an answer to this. My comment deals with the increasing number of riders whom I see boarding the bus and just walking past the fare machine. And, you know, it's increasing, and it's, you know, even people who we would normally expect to pay the fare or tap the card or what have you. I'm almost wondering whether the discussion that was made some time back, that beginning in the summer, bus fares would be free on a temporary basis for a year or so, is in the minds of some people. And the reason why I say that is people who are passing are people whom I always saw paying the fare, or we would expect to pay the fare. And I'm just making this as a statement without an answer. It's a problem. Just as retail stores refuse to confront people because of the possible issues that relate to others in the area, you know, we're sensitive to the way the bus operators are handling this. One thing I'd like to, one thing that would be useful is to have more people on MetroCard having either a week's worth of fare, you know, an ongoing situation. And an interesting way that London handles this is to put a maximum on the number of rides. I think the many of the people who don't have MetroCards are concerned that there may be weeks where they don't use them and they don't want to get charged for usage that they're not making. And the way it might be done, and this is a systems issue, is to charge individually until the card reaches a maximum, and that maximum would be the maximum for the week. That would give comfort to people who don't want to have money taken out each week, but are glad to pay up to that amount if they use the service for the week. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Steve. Madam Chair, at this point, we have no other hands up for public comments.
Rico wanted to comment.
Okay, sure.
So I have a question. I have two questions. First question, if a Metro Access person lose their Metro ID or somebody steal it, what's the price for that? And because I'm just curious about that, and I'm very concerned about if somebody snatched it off somebody's snag or snatch it, what is their policy for people who have Metro Access? I'm just very concerned about that now because that happened to me last week. And I think I need to bring this up, have a conversation on this issue. And first, I want to thank Anu for helping me out on Friday and Mr. Blake also on this issue.
Mr. Blake, you going to answer?
Yes, but I would like Chris Colbert to express the official policy. There is a cost unless. So let's use the scenario that Mr. Bansi referred to. He had an unfortunate incident where somebody assaulted him, you know, reportedly, and snatched a something he had around his neck that happened to contain his Metro Access ID card. In a situation like that, we would normally replace that for free if we get a police report to put in our record. If not a police report, it's considered in the category of lost card that has a price for replacement. But Chris Colbert, is that correct? Did I state the policy right, or can you clarify, sir?
Yeah, Chris Colbert speaking. So our policy is that cards for both Metro Access and reduced fare may be replaced for the first time with a $10 fee and $25 every time after that. The only two exceptions for that rule are if the card is presented to us as damaged or otherwise not working, or if the customer provides us with a copy of a police report. But we do have to have a copy of the police report on file because we're recording all of the fees that are taken and all of the cards that are being printed out. And so in lieu of that fee, we have to be able to provide the documentation or the damaged card showing why we did not collect that fee.
Thank you so much.
All right. Madam Chair, this is Anu. I see Steve Kaffin has raised his hand again, and then we have Doris. No, okay. Steve's hand is not up, and it should not be up. I will lower it for you. Doris, if you'd like to make comments, when you start speaking, I will turn the timer for 3 minutes.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to express that I have been working with some consumers in the field as I work for a Center for Independent Living in Northern Virginia, and there have been some disturbing reports regarding Metro Access late vehicle arrival and also some other issues regarding communication with deaf consumers. And I was wondering if we might want to either at this meeting or at the Metro Access Subcommittee begin getting some reports on statistics on the number of late pickups and other similar ADA performance standards so that we can identify whether there's a real problem out there that's more systemic in nature. So that's my comment and request to AAC.
So Doris,
question: we give a report every month already that outlines the on time performance.
Sorry, I'm not. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay. All right. Well, I was saying, I was asking, just reminding that we do provide a report each month that provides the on time performance, the number of excessively late trips, and the number of missed trips. What other data would you like specifically?
Well, I actually would like to see some data about, you know, the number of reports that we're having from consumers regarding late pickup and excessive time on vehicle and things like that.
Doris,
but, I mean, we used to have them on a real regular basis. And
Doris, we do get those reports. But also, when you have a late trip or you have an incident, you should report it that day. And
this
then,
has nothing to do with my reporting. I don't even use Metro Access. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying
I do understand what you're saying. We do get reports of on-time performance of late trips. We just
have not seen them in a written form in an attachment, but maybe that's I don't know why that is. So I was hoping to have some more discussion about that because the reports that I've had have been excessive late pickups.
Okay, and that's fair. And
you can't see that to be able to divide out the number of excessive late pickups and late arrivals. That's
okay,
all.
So just for clarification, Doris, for the whole group, we do in fact highlight the number and percentage of excessively late trips in the AAC report each month. That's already there. So we'll highlight that more and maybe that'll help the situation. Now, when I hear you mention excessive on board time, well, as we've learned over time, when these trips are fixed route equivalent, there's a lot of perception that I've been on the van too long or I've been in the sedan too long when they really haven't. So I really would like you to continue to advocate as you have, and we'll highlight the data more, but also please have the individual customers either contact Metro directly, contact my office, or you, if they don't want to do that, if you can share, because as I've always said, it is hard to, or it's easy for consumers to talk in a blanket and just say they are having long trips or excessively late pickup. We need to look at individual consumers, and some cases they're correct, because nobody's 100% right, nobody's ever 100% wrong. But in a lot of cases, we found over the years that most Metro Access trips, and this is by design, this is the way I began making this happen, are far shorter than fixed route equivalent trips. However, we cannot go back to the point like we had during the pandemic where everybody received a direct trip. So,
Mr. Blake.
Yes.
Mr. Blake, I am really having a hard time hearing you. I'm okay. Not having problem with anybody else. So tonight. I don't know why that is. So, you know, I was just making a request on a general nature. I wasn't talking necessarily about any person in particular right at this moment. I'm just telling you that I've had reports.
I got you.
And I would hope that we would be concerned about Northern Virginians having addressed concerns to me as an advocate at the Center for Independent Living in Northern Virginia. And want to discuss it further.
We're gonna respond,
I didn't want to take up time in public comment. I said at another of these meetings or at the Metro Access Committee meeting where it might be appropriate to have that discussion. So.
And we're with you. So Anu, please draft a response asking Doris. You know, mention we heard her loud and clear, and we want to follow up. But to throw out, we're having a lot of late trips and a lot of long trips, but then say we can't talk about specifics. Well, that's not how we really get to the bottom of things. So we're going to make a request for the data you have, the reports you have, and we'll absolutely promptly get on it and find any systemic issues and address them if there are any.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blake and Doris. There will be further correspondence on that. Madam Chair, it is 7:03 p.m. We can take approximately 10 minutes to discuss the Hettinger Award, and then we can move on about 9 minutes or 8 minutes each for the bus. The LS subcommittee report, as well as the Metro Apps subcommittee report.
Oh, I need five or less.
Okay.
Okay.
So the only topic remaining for today's discussion is the Hettinger 2023 award. And just to remind all the members, this was mentioned briefly in one or two meetings before, that as we had done during our virtual meetings, we had held the Hettinger Award virtual ceremonies going into next year. Whereas this year, we would like to hold it within the same year, possibly during the AAC meeting in December 2023. We are initiating the discussion now because in August we have a break. Come back in September, everyone has time to think about who they would like to nominate. We can initiate the process, come back when we come back in September. We can also discuss this briefly at the BRS meeting as needed, as well as the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting as needed. The objective is just to get the conversation started so that members are aware that this year we will be holding the virtual award ceremony in December. Everybody gets ample time to think about their nominees, go through the process, which is rather simple. You're all aware and very familiar with the process. So that is the objective. I would stop at this point, not taking any more time. But Madam Chair or any members, if you'd like to have any discussion, comments about it, please go ahead.
Well, the only thing I could say is that, is there a deadline to get your nomination in?
Madam Chair, this is Anu. So since this is our initiating conversation about the Hettinger Award, no deadline has been set up as of yet. Perhaps the committee would like to discuss that and move forward.
Do we have any comments about or suggestions about the deadline date? Because they want to have the ceremony in December. We will be out in August. So could I get a suggestion date for having your nomination in, your nominee's name in?
Madam Chair, this is Anu. While we wait for any other members, perhaps I could just make a couple of recommendations. We could have nomination deadlines perhaps end of September, go through the voting process in October, and this way we have a decision made in December that gives us time to order the award and schedule the virtual ceremony, if that sounds a valid, reasonable time frame. We can move accordingly, or obviously the floor is open for discussion. Doris, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Did you call on me?
Yes, I see your hand is up.
Okay. I was going to suggest that something like Anu just suggested, that we call for nominations starting at the time of the next AAC meeting, at the beginning of September, right? And that we give it the time until the October meeting and then review the nominations and vote on them. But even if you put it out earlier than that, I would. I have a question. So, are we intending to have nominations also come from the public for the award?
Has that been a practice in past?
It has been done, yes, that way, from the public, as well as the committee.
Well, I would yield to the AAC in that matter.
But I would suggest that it's only fair if we are going to do that we, you know, have an announcement out early enough to so that even the public could be thinking about it over.
So that
the summer. This is at least over August or something.
Okay, so that could be a point of discussion at the next meeting. Philip, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Also, a thing that maybe we should vote on the award and have it decided by. Probably by mid-November or before Thanksgiving, so we got time to not only order the award, but if we're in the hopefully by that time, if we're able to hold hybrid meetings, that that person could be make arrangements to be there in person to actually receive the award.
Okay, that's a good suggestion. However, depending upon if the virtual, if the ceremony is being held virtually or in person, chances are it may be in, it may again be virtually. However, we do have some time, so we can definitely do that. Just to share, we, in the last award ceremonies that were held virtually, we did have the award mailed directly to the recipient, and they were able to receive it prior to the ceremony date.
Because also, just because since it costs money to order it, we could save money from that, from having to have save money, have to mail it, where they could just put give it right there in person.
Okay. Thank you for your recommendation. Ms. Rush, are you trying to make some comments?
I'm trying to remember when we involved the public to nominate, but I can't remember. Could someone help me with
Denise?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, I have copies of public announcements. We definitely did. I mean, in my email that I receive. I don't know when we stopped doing that, maybe over the pandemic. I don't know, but I absolutely do know we've had nominations from the public.
Could you, okay.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah, since you do know, could you name
well,
the person?
I have to go research it. I don't know how long it... I'll have to research it in old emails, so it'll take some time, but it was
anyone
allowed.
Else on the Phil? He's not on. Okay, well, fine.
Dr. Posner may not be connected any longer.
Okay, all right.
All right.
You know, you don't have to. You can change it. I was just giving you a suggestion, but it might help also with some outreach and PR for the AAC itself.
Yes, I'm not trying to change anything. I'm just trying to remember.
Okay. This is, I know, as we were saying earlier, that this. Today's conversation is just initiating the Hettinger Award 2023. We can definitely discuss this further at the BRS and the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting this month.
Okay.
So this would be something for the committee to think about, and we can come back next Monday and share our feedback.
Okay, since this is the AAC committee, for July, we don't have it in August. Do we have any volunteers to work on the bylaws? We suggested Paul at the last meeting, but Paul wasn't on the line. So since he is on the line, or any others that will volunteer to work with each other to work on the bylaws. Paul?
If I guess the committee's directing me to help assist with it, I'll be happy. But if there's any other willing people, of course, that want to take the lead, please do so.
Through the grapevine, I think Darnice Bush said she was interested. Ms. Bush?
Madam, this is Anu. Sandy Newsom has raised her hand. Sandy, go ahead.
This is Sandy. I hope you can hear me. I'm willing to
participate. I don't think I really want to be the leader on this, but I'd be willing to correspond on my thoughts on what might need updating. Who's laughing?
Okay, so Paul, is Ms. Bush on the line anew?
Madam Chair, I do not see her on the call anymore. Any longer?
Okay. Well, so we have.
I do see her anew.
You see her?
Yes, I do.
Donnie Bush?
Yes, I do.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay, I had volunteered the last time we talked about this as well. This is Doris. I had raised my hand, but it was, I guess, not seen or ignored.
Okay. Doris has volunteered. Sandy has volunteered. We've nudged Paul a little too. So this is good.
Madam Chair, Rico is right. Donnie is still connected. Apologies, Donnie. I was trying to find you. And Doris, I was trying to find Donnie, so I may not have seen your hand up.
I think she's on me.
I'm sorry, Thomas.
She's still on mute.
Oh, Sam, I think Donnie is on mute.
Yes, Donnie, you're on mute if you're speaking.
So I see all these people volunteering. So I guess y'all need to figure out who's going to take the lead on it. Like I said, anyone else can, and it's open to do so.
Well, at least we do have volunteers, so that's a start.
Run, Paul, run.
Wait, what did Mr. Blake say?
I say 4 more years.
I remember the last time we went through this process. It was a very thorough and long process that needed to be done. It does require a lot of work.
Okay. Mr. Rush, just to keep track of time, we are at 7:17 and these are two reports. So, Steve, would you like to start with bus rail and then metro access? Steve.
Okay. Hi. Yes. We'll abbreviate this because Paul and I have to share equally before the very short end upcoming. The last bus rail meeting was extremely spirited. And if I don't recall a more comprehensive meeting than the one we had last month, which began with Lynn Borisox, who's overseeing the rail design project, saying that the feedback from customers regarding the gangway trains was, and she used the term phenomenal. And she thanked the committee for its support. And we may have been, and one of the leaders of that, who's not here tonight, may be one of the initiators of the push to move this along. She mentioned they're still working on the intercar barriers. You recall, I suggested an accordion style and gave some examples. There may be other ways, and she's still looking into that. A discussion ensued regarding the width of the doors. Tino raised it based upon his visit to New York City and felt that the wider the doors, the more movement and the less dwelling time the trains would have. This brought up a discussion regarding the loss of window space. And Carol mentioned that the doors need to move out and this would curtail or not curtail the window space. This also brought discussion from Ms. Rush and Philippa. And Phil mentioned that this would create an issue with respect to the structure regarding regarding an extended period of time to get the project done. She mentioned, Lynn mentioned vertical poles that she's still working on, and that was an issue to ensure that there's adequate mobility space at the doors where the poles are going to be placed. Doris raised an issue reminding her that the placement of bicycles and strollers on the cars is particularly important, particularly if we're going to have gangway cars and there may be increased movement within the cars as well as from one car to the next. We then had Nate Williams, who's in charge of planning and maintenance, discuss the construction projects during the summer. Sandy raised a concern regarding some long wait times of shuttle buses. And I personally had that experience about 10 days ago, waiting for the Silver Line at Dulles Airport. I waited about 40, 45 minutes for it, and the criteria is 15. It was late in the day, and there are issues getting buses, we understand, but we communicated that concern. Mitch Nitschy. Who's in charge of the elevators and escalators, talked about the DuPont Circle project, which is upcoming, and it's going to be a big project lasting the better part of 2 years, beginning in December of this year, replacing piecemeal the escalators at DuPont Circle South and also DuPont Circle North. And particularly of interest to me, that critical elevator, which transfers people from bus to rail. And he mentioned that's going to be repaired too. We had a discussion of the vacant AAC position, if you recall, and Doris volunteered to pull applications together for that. And Phil suggested that one criteria might be nature of disability. And he raised that as a possibility too. We had the discussion a few minutes ago about the bylaws, and that was also discussed at the bus rail committee meeting. And finally, in public comments, Ms. Rush discussed her attendance at the Better Bus Network redesign event, which I was at and Tino was at also. And the particular bus line, the L12, which is involved in that. And, it's an ongoing project. And, I hope in the near future we have that scheduled to see how that's coming along and what the next step is going to be. And that's about it. And I would like at the end to give a shout out to Tino, who may be 6 hours ahead of us, but I'm sure he's watching and listening diligently from wherever he is. And so thank you very much. Thanks.
All right, I'll jump in and give my report unless you have any questions for Tino. With the 7 minutes left, I will keep it to probably 3 to 4 minutes. This is Paul Summerfoot, the Metro Access Subcommittee Chairperson. My report is we last month at the subcommittee meeting, we discussed the web booking update, some of the ongoing issues that we're having with web booking. Ms. Anderson, one of the operations manager, has been working with IT, and they hope to have tested a solution that will relieve some of these issues of slowness and other things that a member of the public and myself has brought to their attention. They anticipate the live date for production is July 20th. And of course, some of us will be probably testing it as customers and give feedback. And hopefully we're optimistic that this will resolve some of those issues. With the Metro Access fares update, as of the 25th, the maximum flat Metro Access fare is up to no more than $4. I will be happy to state on trips after that, unless we hear any other customer complaints, the system they put into place, should not see any fares beyond $4. If not, please report it as soon as possible so that technical issue can be fixed if you're being charged more than that. The pickup window change. It is now July 1st, and the pickup window change has went into effect. The pickup window that's told to you by the reservationist that you get starts at that time. It's at 4:21 p.m. It goes from 4:21 to 4:51. 30 minutes right after that pickup time that's stated to you and negotiated with you. And that's your 30-minute window. Ms. Anderson, in sort of relation to that, I sent you an email or something I saw on the online web booking for you to investigate and report back to the committee. We had a Metro Access minivan update from Mr. Blake. He stated that we will be receiving the new minivans within a week or two, and each base may receive two minivans, and that certain trips of AAC members who use Metro Access will be placed on the minivan so they get to, you know, experiment and ride on it and give some direct feedback as more begin to roll out over time in terms of those minivans. The Metro Access Find My Ride application for customers. Customers gave feedback. I gave mine about some of the possible challenges and possible uses of the tools, and other customers gave their very explicit and direct unfiltered feedback about the tool on areas of possible improvement with comments from Metro Access management. Beyond that, we also talked about Metro Access service area and grandfathering. Members of the AAC expressed their opinion about that, and also Ms. Rush expressed her opinion about, with the bus redesign network, more and more bus services and routes as they are added, that will expand Metro Access service and hopefully possibly of this, and that we need to advocate for better bus services in areas which are not served by Metro Rail or Metro Bus, more particularly Metro Bus within those counties that serve Metro Access. With that, are there any other questions as to this report of me? If not, I will lead this back to Anew, since it's 7:27, to give her spiel.
Thank you, Mr. Somerville. So I just want to remind members of the public, if they would like to send their public comments, they can email us at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. That concludes my announcement. Doris, I see your hand is up. And Mr. Blake, please.
Just real quick, I just wanted to say I just returned my wife and I.
It was a mistake. It's not a.
My wife and I just returned from Montreal and Toronto. So while in Montreal, I took my first trip on a gangway Metro Rail car. So I'm trying to do my best Steve Caffin imitation. I did take some pictures. I just haven't had a chance to send them out to you all yet. But I did experience the gangway train ride that they have up in Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
Wonderful. I'm sure the committee would look forward to receiving those when you have a chance. Thank you. Madam Chair, it is 7:28 p.m. I would hand Ms. Rush.
I just got back. I couldn't hear you.
I was just saying that we have pretty much completed everything on the agenda, and it is 7:28 p.m.
Okay. Well, can I get a motion to close the meeting?
So moved.
All right. Thank you. Can I get a second?
I second.
Okay, well, I guess we'll see everybody in September and look forward to the September surprise, except we will have bus and rail and Metro Access, but the AAC has the most members usually coming, so So have a great summer. Thank you. Meeting is closed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Everyone, happy July 4th. Oh,
Davis Anderson, hopefully you got my email of love.
Have a great holiday.
Have a great holiday. Just chilling.
Thank you.
We do have Assembly Subcommittee next Monday. And we
I did receive your email, Mr.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Happy 4th, everybody.
Happy 4th of July.